Hey, this is Triple H 100.1 FM. Good afternoon and welcome to Rotary Matters. My name's Ian Stewart and it's really good to be with you again on this lovely sunny summer day. Now, the idea of our programme, Rotary Matters, is to put the spotlight onto some of the many worthy causes, the projects and the people who make up a Rotary. Now, many of you know that five local Rotary clubs combine to stage an important community bike ride. It's called the Bobbinhead Cycle Classic, or the Bobbo for short, and it's on again later next month. Look, I'll be telling a bit more about that, about the Bobbo, later in this programme, but to begin with, I'd like to focus on one of the Bobbo partners. Their name is Kieser, K-I-E-S-E-R, and they run specialised training programmes focused on maximising the strength in your body in a safe and controlled environment. Strength training is shown to have an impact on your quality of life, and it reduces the risk of chronic conditions and injuries. I recently had the pleasure of discussing strength, what it is, how it's measured, and how important it is to our health. And I spoke with Kieser's regional manager, Hamish McConnell, and we spoke recently on Zoom.
So today, we're going to be talking today about the importance of strength. But before we get into strength, Hamish, how important is it for us all to be mindful of our health throughout, as we grow older, throughout life?
Thanks, Ian. Well, that's a great question, and it's something I'm really, really passionate about. But before I answer, thanks very much for having me on the show. I'm really excited to talk about this and share the importance of strength for everyone, because it is something that isn't too commonly known when it comes to the impact it can have. So it's a great starting question. So strength plays a vital role in a number of things that keep us healthy. If you think about it, our ability to do everyday tasks, our ability to go for a walk, our ability to go for a shop. Everyone is constantly trying to improve their health, be it by exercising or eating healthily. And at the end of the day, we're trying to avoid all of the horrible diseases and horrible impacts that come with, I suppose, injury or poor health. And strength specifically plays a massive role in minimizing the impact of all of those negative things on our health. So simply speaking, if you're stronger, it's easier for you to do the everyday tasks that, you know, challenge you each day, or it's easier for you to go for a walk for longer distances without any pain. But on the flip side of that, when it comes to health, strength is actually shown to have a significant role in decreasing your risk of obtaining all of those horrible diseases that we know can impact our health for the long term. So there's a lot of evidence that now suggests that strength is directly correlated with a decreased risk of all-cause mortality. So basically speaking, if you're stronger, you're more likely to live for longer than somebody who isn't.
So it's interesting. In our day-to-day lives, as you say, we walk around, we lift things, we dig the garden. We don't necessarily think of the word strength in that context. We might think of some pain. If it's awkward, we might get out of breath if we're running too hard, but we're not necessarily focusing on the strength. So the strength is in our muscles. Is this correct, Hamish?
Correct. So strength is, I suppose, a word that is well, actually, let's go back a step, Ian. Let's think about what you talked about in terms of those activities. So to make it really simple, if we break down the elements of fitness. So let's just say for something like gardening, you do need a number of different fitness elements, be it you need to have strength, you need to have coordination, you need to have balance, you need to have endurance as well, and you need to have cardiovascular fitness to be able to do that for an extended period of time. Now, the four that I mentioned that weren't strength, coordination, balance, cardiovascular fitness, and endurance, strength actually plays a critical role in the foundation of each of those four other components. So we go to gardening as the example. If you're digging a hole, you need the strength to be able to coordinate the shovel down into the soil. If you're pruning overhead, you need balance, but it's the strength of the muscles that provides the joints of the body the stability so you can maintain balance. And when it comes to coordination, the strength that's built up within your muscles actually allows you to coordinate each muscle group and each joint of the body more effectively, means that you've got more control of the activity that you're doing. Endurance, really simply, the stronger you are, the less effort you have to exert. If you think about that last time you were in the garden and having to dig a hole, it's pretty hard after a first couple of shoves into the soil. But if you're stronger, you don't have to exert nearly as much force into each time you complete that activity, which means your endurance is sustained.
So, the muscles that we use, do they constantly produce the same strength?
That's a really interesting question. So it does change depending on what position the joint is in. So let's go back one step, because there's an interesting piece of theory that we need to understand, and is that the muscle can generate different levels of force depending in which part of the contraction that it's in. So let's think of the example of a shopping bag. So if you're holding a shopping bag down by the side of the body, as you lift the bag up towards you, that's what we call the concentric part of the contraction. That's usually where day-to-day we experience the most exertion, when we're using our strength, when we're lifting something or moving something for the first time. And we're actually weakest in that phase because we're fighting against gravity. Gravity is playing, is essentially the force that's making the concentric part of the movement really hard. The next element that's important to understand is we also have a phase of the contraction called the isometric contraction. And that's when the muscle is fully shortened, or when you've got in the example of the shopping bag is up over your shoulder. You've completely moved the joint to the end of the movement and there's no movement occurring anymore. The muscle is a little bit stronger in that phase. So again, simply speaking, we're stronger holding something in place than we are lifting it. And then the third muscular contraction that's most common is called the eccentric contraction. So that's when we're lowering something down. So once you've got the shopping bag to the top, for you to lower it down, it's actually a little bit easier than it is when you were lifting it or holding it. So we are stronger again in the eccentric part of the contraction. So before we talk about when you're strongest and when you're weakest, simply speaking, we're weakest when we're lifting something. We're a little bit stronger holding it, and then we're stronger again when we're letting something down, which is important when it comes to talking about strength.
When you're holding the shopping bag, Hamish, up at the shoulder level, haven't you got the benefit of resting your wrist or the bag on your shoulder, taking some of the tension?
Yes, you do, but let's just assume that you weren't doing that.
Okay. All right.
Obviously, we are. That's where coordination comes in. So strength being a critical part of coordination as well.
So are there many types of strength?
Yeah, we can probably talk about different types of strength in their application. So there's maximal strength in the traditional sense of it, which is the highest amount of force you can exert at any one point. So what's an example at work? If you're trying to push as hard as you can against something, that's a very short and sustained expression of strength. But at the other end of the spectrum, there's an endurance type strength. So how long a muscle can generate a level of strength for a period of time, which is more applicable to something like cycling or something where sustained strength is required. But really, as I said, it comes down to the application. So if you're completing something regularly over and over and over, endurance is definitely what's required. But if it's short, sharp, elements where speed might be required, it's a more of a maximal strength exertion.
And how do you measure strength?
Well, there's lots of different ways. So if we start at the gold standard. So as an exercise scientist, the gold standard is always what we go for, is something that's really objective that we can compare in a research setting. So there are very specific tools that you can use. So universities, if they're running a study, will have very specific dynamometers or essentially force plates or machines that can measure the amount of force that is exerted. So we can have a really objective measure of the level of strength of someone's muscles. But then you can come down to much more easily completed ones that are just simple tests that can be done that we have a massive set of data we can compare to. So a really simple test that we would use to measure someone's strength might be a sit to stand test, which is where someone simply sits up and stares down from a standardized chair as many times as they can in 30 seconds. That we can then compare to somebody else, and we can derive from that information how strong someone is versus their population. But the most, I suppose, the way that I really, really enjoy, or what really makes me excited about measuring strength, is just hearing the stories of people who have had an improvement based off completing a regular strength training program. So we go back to the example of someone in the garden. If you're a passionate gardener, or you're a passionate golfer or cyclist, and all of a sudden those activities start to become harder, the most exciting way of measuring strength is knowing that once you've completed a strength training program for an extended period of time, that you can get back to those activities and do them without the pain that was present before or the fatigue that was stopping you from doing it. Yeah, that is definitely the most exciting way to measure. The laboratory versions can be a little bit dry, and so lots of different ways.
So I'm gonna try sitting on a chair and getting up and down, as you suggested earlier on. For it's like an average that would be considered to be a good score within the 30-second period.
So that's Hamish McConnell there. He'll answer that question shortly when we resume the conversation. Hamish is with Keezer, a local strength training business, and a supporter of the Bobo, which is run by Rotary Clubs, hence the connection. You're on Triple H, 100.1 FM. Hey, welcome back to Rotary Matters. It's Ian Stewart here, your host. And in this program, we profile some of the worthy causes, the projects, and the people who make up Rotary. Now, there is a local community bike ride organised by local Rotary clubs. It's called the Bobbin Head Cycle Classic, also known as the Bobbo. And a key partner of the Bobbo is Keezer. And we're talking now with Hamish McConnell. Hamish is the regional manager of Keezer. And picking up on the conversation we had a few minutes ago, we're going to discuss how many sit-to-stands put you in at the risk category, and importantly, what you can do about it. So I was talking with Hamish McConnell by Zoom.
Well, here's a really interesting one. So if we go back to the question you talked about in terms of the impact that strength can have on health, there's a condition that's called sarcopenia, and it's something that impacts a lot of older adults who don't complete regular resistance or regular strength training. So sarcopenia can be measured in two ways. It can be measured really objectively, where we actually are losing the size of muscle strength, but it can also be measured in this way, which is more of a functional diagnosis of sarcopenia, where your muscle's ability to complete a task is decreased. So, sorry, I should have defined sarcopenia as a condition that is defined by a decrease in strength and the output of strength and the size of muscles as we age. So if someone cannot perform more than 12 sit to stands in a 30-second time frame, they're at risk of greater risk of all of those things we talked about earlier, because they've got a functional diagnosis of sarcopenia. So, Ian, your challenge is to do more than 12. If you can do more than 12, you're in a good place.
So, listeners, we're talking with Hamish McConnell, the area leader for Keezer here, who's given us a very simple way of testing our strength. Sit at a chair, stand and sit. And if you can do 12 of those within 30 seconds, you're okay. But if you can't, then you need to get something done about it. Hamish, am I right?
Definitely. Most definitely.
So our aging demographic, what are the best things that we can do to maintain our strength and good health as we get older?
Yeah, that's, another great question, and something that a lot of people try very regularly to do. Like, obviously, our health is so important, and everyone is so literate in health now in Australia, knowing that longevity is critical for our health and our social relationships and all of our general activities. I'm going to go back to the Australian Physical Activity Guidelines, which really makes it quite simple, but we'll delve a little bit more into that. So the Physical Activity Guidelines recommend regular moderate activity, so 5 times a week for 30 minutes, be it sort of walking or brisk walking or any other sort of cardiovascular activity, which most of us know and most of us do. So a lot of people try and walk regularly each day, and we know that hills are really important and walking briskly. However, something that a lot of people don't know is that within the Australian Physical Activity Guidelines, it recommends strength training or resistance activities twice per week. Now, that's really important because there's a significant number of Australians, particularly older Australians, that don't participate in resistance or strength-based activities. So, if we can find ways to help people perform those regularly, we know that we're going to get those benefits that we're all striving for. The best way to do that, and it's a bit of a scary conversation because there's a lot of people who haven't completed strength training before, and the idea of going into a gym can be a little bit scary, a little bit intimidating. So the easiest way to do it is to seek expert advice. So working with a physiotherapist or an exercise physiologist, an exercise scientist, someone who specializes and got expertise training in this space, so that if there are any barriers that you're presented with, be it an injury or general deconditioning where you might not be as strong as you used to be, or like we said before, just not feeling confident because it's an environment you haven't been into, working with a qualified and specialized expert in strengthening is going to be the best way to engage.
Let's talk about cyclists and dolphins. Hamish, a number of our listeners ride bikes, and a number of them play golf. Do they have particular needs in terms of strength training? And if so, what are they and what can they do about it?
Oh, that again, that's a good question, and pretty contentious too. For some, in the as we said at the very start, a lot of people do complete these activities because they want to be healthy and they want to be active, and cycling and golf are two very, very, very good activities to do all of that. But if you go back to what we said earlier around the different elements of fitness, so think about coordination, speed, balance, and strength, and also endurance. You can relate each of those quite easily to cycling and/or golf. So, if we start with cycling, for example, you need balance and coordination to be able to power through the pedals, particularly if there's any sort of challenging segments in your ride. You need an element of stability because there will be vibration through the road, and I suppose even more importantly, if you're mountain biking or if you're doing trail rides. And then power, or the ability to put strength through speed through the pedal so that you can generate the required wattage to complete your hill climb or reach your top speed. Simply speaking, strength, as we said at the start, plays a critical role in the foundation of each of those four elements. So if you're not strong enough to generate the power required, you're going to end up having to slow down through that hill climb, and you're going to have to drop gears more than maybe some of your more stronger competitors would. If you're not strong enough to control the stability through your hips and your knees, particularly on something like a hill climb or a hard section, there will be more movement through your pelvis. Your knees are going to be moving in and out from the bike, and therefore your flow and your ability to stay consistent with your speed is challenged. And if we think about the endurance of it, well, if you're stronger overall, you're not going to get as tired. You're not going to have to put as much effort into those challenging sections, which means your ride speed can be sustained right through. On the other side, and then obviously that's very specifically about performance of riding, but if you're not strong through your postural muscles, through your torso, and through your shoulders, well, I think if you talk to most cyclists, there's going to be a story around them having back pain, shoulder pain, or neck pain from being in the saddle for that sustained period of time. So the strength in this instance plays a really key role in stabilizing someone's postural, the postural part of their body, and minimizing the amount of pain and discomfort that comes on. So the stronger you are, the less likely those areas are to get tired whilst you're in that, down ride position. Golf is really interesting, and there's so many challenging components to golf. Think about it. In professional golfers, club head speed can be up to 200 kilometers an hour, and I know. I don't want to say it, but most golfers out there are probably trying to replicate something somewhat the similar club head speed if they can. But the reality is that exerts massive forces on the body and the joints of the body. So going back to the idea of stability, the stronger you are, or the more conditioning you have done in preparing yourself for strength through a gym program or a tailored strengthening program, means that your joints are much more robust when it comes to taking the impact from those high-speed swings, minimizing the impact on your back, helping you stabilize your hips more. There's less movement through your shoulders. You don't rely on your arms as much. You can use your strong abdominal muscles to generate the power for your swing. So it really becomes a foundation of everything. What's really interesting, though, and this is obviously not as exciting as the performance stuff, is strength plays a role in simply being able to get you around the course. Like, there's a number of clients that I see that their big goal is not necessarily be able to drive the ball further or play have a better round, but it's just, I just want to be able to walk the course with the people that I've been walking the course with for the last 10 years. So simply, again, if you're stronger and you've got more robustness in your joints and you've got less pain as a result of being stronger, it's going to be easier for you to simply walk the course.
Yeah, many golf courses are many kilometers long if you do the 18, and particularly
especially on the upper North Shore. Especially in the upper North Shore, and the some of the hill climbs are very challenging.
You still got to walk it, even if you've got a powered buggy. You still have to do the walking, and as Hamish says, you need strength. Hamish, there is so much to this. I'd no idea, and I think most of our listeners would not have had as much understanding of the importance of strength. I'd like to thank you very much indeed for sharing that with me today. Before I let you go, you are a partner on the Bobo. The organisers of the Bobo really appreciate that. Two areas that cyclists will spot your brand. One is as they ride the Kieser Climb, which is a section that goes from Illawong Bay up to the Cottage Point turnoff. They'll see your branding there. They're probably going to curse because it's so steep. But at the same time,
well, if they've done their conditioning and strengthening program in, they might be flying up the hill and loving it.
Good.
But if they haven't, well, maybe the as the contrary.
And then at the finish, we have what we call the Bobo Village, and there will be an area there where, under your supervision, students can riders can receive massage and physiotherapy with a small P from some students from Medibank TAFE. So. On behalf of the Bobo organisers, Hamish, thank you very much indeed for your support for this community bike ride, which comes up at the end of March.
No problem. We're super excited to be a part of it. We have been for a few years now, and anything we can do to help the community and more importantly, keep people strong.
Good, good. Hamish McConnell, thank you very much indeed for your time today. I'll let you get back into the studio.
Thanks, Ian.